Okay, so my name is Daniel. I work at NXP. I'm part of the Linux BSP team. Does anyone know here what BSP means? Yeah, okay, so it's board support package team that we take care of enabling the board. We just get the board from the factory and we put Linux on it and we make sure that the basic functions work. It boots to the prompt. Then we take care of audio, video, and other stuff. Traditionally, i.mx and embedded platforms have used proprietary firmware, right? And we'll see why sometimes proprietary firmware is not that good for enabling boards, for starting up the boards, and we'll see other reasons later. And here I will be talking about this project, Sound Open Firmware. Every one of you who is now using a Linux laptop is using Sound Open Firmware. Most likely, if you are using a common distribution of Linux, most of them enabled Sound Open Firmware by default for audio. So I don't know if you've seen lately that your problems with audio have increased or not, because sometimes audio can be painful, right? Yeah. Now, the project is hosted on GitHub. The development takes place exclusively on GitHub. This is the what we wanted from first. No development to take place under the scenes. It's an open source firmware and Linux drivers infrastructure. It was announced in 2018 by Intel at the Embedded Linux conference, and it has this open license model. The firmware, which usually runs on a secondary core, most of the time is a DSP, has this BSD3 close MIT license, and the Linux drivers have dual license for GPLv2 and BSD3 close. This dual license model for Linux is done because most of the peripheral, audio peripheral drivers are switched to the firmware. So in order to be able to integrate them easily, most of them have this dual license. So you just can take the code from one side to another. And you don't want GPL in your firmware. Now we'll get to this philosophical question. Why do we need an open source solution? Most of the time when we work with firmware teams, they were just closed teams, and you don't even, when you had a problem, it was very hard to debug. You didn't know what happened there. You just know some interface with the firmware, and that's all. In order to debug the problem, you need to reach the firmware team, which usually is closed. And the documentation most of the time is missing. And at that time, I think it was around 2015, Intel went with this idea of open sourcing their firmware. And one other reason is that there is a lot of growth in the voice-controlled-based devices. Devices from Amazon, from Google, and from other companies are growing. And having a way of quickly enabling your solution rapidly on them would benefit if you have some open firmware. Now, what are the key features of the Sound Open Firmware which were stated from the beginning? The firmware should be agnostic from the DSP architecture and platform. Like, for example, how Linux is. You can have Linux on any kind of architecture and platform. Because the project was started by people working with Linux, most of the architecture of the Sound Open Firmware follows the Linux kernel architecture, with layers and with generic core parts and with subsystems. And then each platform just needs to write their own specific driver and the entire system just works. We started with the DSP from Cadence, with the Extensa architecture. So we started with an open OS named Extensa OS. Obviously, that worked only on Extensa architecture. But then we find out about Zephyr. How many of you here have heard of Zephyr or working with Zephyr? Okay, that's great. We are in the right room. And switching to Zephyr allowed us to put SOF not only on the Extensa DSPs that we have. We are now experimenting with i.MX to move the SOF firmware on ARM cores, either M4, M7, or A cores. And this is very easy because we have Zephyr, which already supports it, these platforms. Now, the host application process, the solution should be host application processor architecture agnostic. It works on Intel, it works on x86, AMD, ARM with NXP, MediaTek. We'll see later who the contributors are. Then, while you have this solution open, you are able to modify the audio pipeline. Right. You can insert your own components, and SoundOpen firmware has this modular way of creating pipelines that you can create adapters. So if you have closed algorithms, like if you have a closed echo cancellation algorithm, you just need to have an interface to your closed algorithm, and you can plug it in an audio pipeline. And another thing that is now in progress, and it helps us a lot with proprietary algorithms, is that we are able to dynamically load modules, right? So you don't have to link your algorithm with the firmware code. I think also Zephyr tries to do this. And I think SoundOpen firmware is more advanced with it. I mean, we have code that it's actually running and it's working. The idea would be that once we completely switch to Zephyr, to implement this feature of dynamically loading modules inside Zephyr. Now, these are some simple components that are already supported in SoundOpen firmware, starting with some simple volume, equalizers, mixer, QR detector, and then we go to more complex components like audio echo cancellation, noise reduction, and compressed audio. For these complex parts, usually there are no open algorithms, or there are no good open algorithms, for example, to do an echo cancellation part. So what we do, we created a module adapter, this has an open interface, which calls into the closed source algorithm to do the processing. And I think this is one of the strengths of the SoundOpen firmware, that you can just use third-party components with your open source code and make it work. The main idea for us at NXP, at least, is to do very quick enabling of the boards. Like we do have the boards, we have the Linux, we have all the components there, and we can show to the customers very quick how this hardware works and what are the capabilities. And then, of course, mostly in the automotive world, people prefer to keep things a little bit more closed. But we will get there with them too, maybe in the future. Now, this is a simple architecture of the code. We have here two entities. We have the application processor, which usually runs Linux, and it could be ARM or x86. And on the right side, we have the DSP. For now, we use only Cadence DSPs. And these are the layers on the right of the firmware. Usually, you have a generic microkernel, which for us, we hope to be only Zephyr in the future. We now support Extensa OS and Zephyr, but the entire development was like generic in order to allow other OSs to plug in the system. Like, for example, some people who are preferring FreeRTOS, and in the automotive world, some customers prefer FreeRTOS, should be able to use FreeRTOS with Sound Open Firmware. And the other parts that we have right now is Sound Open Firmware contains platform drivers. Like for your digital audio interfaces, all the drivers are contained inside the Sound Open Firmware repo. And when we switch to Zephyr, we find out that some of the drivers are already in Zephyr. Like, for example, drivers for the DMA. So we ended up with two drivers which were basically doing the same thing. And one of the steps that we are taking now is to remove the drivers from Sound Open Firmware and use the native drivers from Zephyr. And of course, we figure out that some of the interfaces is not exactly as we want. For example, for audio, the audio in Zephyr is still in the beginning. They have, for digital audio interfaces, they have the I2S driver, but we figure out that it's not exactly what we want, so we created another driver for digital audio interfaces, and we hope that in the end it will replace the I2S. And the other part is a part for the components, where you plug in your specific components. Like you see there, the volume, the mixer. Some of the components are just open coded. There is a specific directory where you just plug in your code for the mixers. Some others are using the module adapter, which is just a generic interface for processing, for audio processing. And you need somehow your library to create an adapter and expose that interface so that you can use it. This is for the DSP side. For the application processor side, we use ALSA. So for a user, shouldn't be any difference if you switch from SOF and use a DSP to offload some audio, or if you don't use the DSP. So for this reason, I think when, for example, Ubuntu switched to using Sound Open Firmware, this change was transparent to the users. So we do have this generic interface, and if you want to support your platform, most of the things are already in the core part, and you need to just write your specific DSP platform driver. So for example, you need to describe your application processor way of communicating with a DSP through some shared memory area, and how do you send notifications, and how do you get the replies back, and so on. Okay, so this is for the Linux part. Now, everything, starting from the beginning, was about collaboration. Intel started this, and they have a very huge team working on this. And we at NXP were working with a proprietary firmware from Cadence, and it is working well, of course, but it takes us time to do the updates and to implement new features. So what every sane engineer should do is try to reduce their effort and use software from the community. So we got Sound Open Firmware, and it was very, very quick for us to make it, to just make a demo. That we needed to implement some specific parts, some communication part, and it just worked. Of course, for the other part, implementing the full set of features, it took us a while until we got there. After that, we've seen AMD joining, then we've seen MediaTek, and MediaTek helped us a lot because NXP was the only platform that was using ARM. All the other ones were using x86. So it also helped us on the upstreaming part. Then you see there, we also have Google. Google have a big interest of this because they enabled Sound Open Firmware on Chromebooks. And of course, you can see other third-party vendors who wanted to integrate their algorithms inside Sound Open Firmware. So they worked with the community, they created the interfaces, and they finally got their code in. Now, these are short part of the supported platforms. You see there all the platforms from NXP which do have a DSP inside are supported, like QXP, QM, M+, A2LP, and we are also experimenting with platforms which do not have a DSP, like, for example, i.mx93, and what we did is that we reserved an ARM core and used Sound Open Firmware on that ARM core. And this effort was greatly made very easy by using Zephyr, which already supported a ARM architecture. Then for Intel, I think they support it on all their platforms. So most likely your laptops already have Sound Open Firmware. I will show you later how I can figure out if it's supported on my my laptop. Then they came AMD and MediaTek. MediaTek was a very great help for us because we could discuss ARM-specific problems with them. Now, what's the future? What we want to do in the future? We want to complete switch to Zephyr OS, not only Intel and NXP, but I do think that the other companies should switch to Zephyr OS because it would be the maintenance would be easier, and we will get all the features that are in Zephyr Trust, for example, the logging and the existing drivers that are already there. Another part for us is to port SOF on M cores, M4 and M7, and see how it behaves and if it helps our goal of enabling boards. Then we will switch to the other part of i.mx that we have under our portfolio, which is i.mx-RT. These are microcontrollers, and they do not run Linux. So for now, Sound Open Firmware is tightly coupled. I mean, you need to have an application processor and a DSP, and the application processor controls the flow. But with the RT, iMXRT, we don't have a application processor, so we need to figure out to make Sound Open Firmware to work standalone. And with this, because we're already there with Zephyr, we will try and see if we succeed on enhancing the audio stack in Zephyr. Currently, Zephyr doesn't actually have a proper audio stack. It does have some small subsystem, and everyone is trying to implement the audio in their own way. And maybe in the future, we can somehow work together and create a proper audio stack for Zephyr. Now, for how do you get started with SOF? We think that the documentation is pretty good. Not sure if it's quite updated, but the documentation is good for getting started. We do have, and we moved to the Discord server of Zephyr. We have a channel there named SOF. So if you have any question, just feel free to ask them there. And we, each year, we try to participate in Google Summer of Code with project. This year, if you're a student, we want to implement some GUI to control Sound Open Firmware components and tuning from the Linux side to the firmware. It's a new thing for us. We are just there in the kernel. We don't have any experience with GUIs, but I think it would be an interesting project for us to see. I think that's all from me. I will show you how to figure out if you have Sound Open Firmware on your computer. This is just very simple. You list the modules on your machine, and yeah. And you'll see the Intel driver for SOF around here. Yeah, there are a lot of them, a lot of modules. And of course, the firmware is in the main repositories. I think you should already have it there. I'm not sure if it's enabled by default on your Linux distribution. Okay, so that's it. If you have questions, I think we do have plenty of time for questions. Yep.
You've got to boot the firmware on it, I suppose, nowadays, haven't you? That's fantastic, thanks. We've got an IMX810 mini-based board that we've been working on for a while now, we're bringing out. We've done a bit of work with real-time code for signal sampling on the M4 core. How close are you to having something with the Sound Open framework that we might be able to try running up on the M4 core to see what happens?
We're not very close.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you.
But it's one of our goals for this year is to because we got this question from many other places, so it's definitely on our to-do list.
Hi. So is there a place for sound open firmware on embedded devices? Like, for example, if I want to create some sort of embedded device that will process audio, and I want to, I don't know, reduce latency. So is there any SDK for development of?
There are a lot of SDK for development. For example, the 8M Plus, you can get it from Toradex. I think it's a little bit expensive-ish. Yeah. At least the boards with ARM, the development boards with ARM that do have a DSP are not in the 100 euro range. I think are more in 200 or 300 euro. Yeah. For now, but when we'll go to M4 or M7, I think you definitely can get some more cheaper development boards.
Thanks. This was a nice presentation. How does this protocol between host and the DSP, like, is it comparable to Virtio Sound, for example, or like, does it have any relation? Just curious.
Yeah, I understand the question. Is a somehow custom protocol made by community? It doesn't have the separation and the layer and the standardization as Virtio has. We are looking on, for example, RPMSG, but I think the goal of this protocol was to be very simple, and to be very easy to implement from all other vendors. Yeah, it's a very good question. I do think that Virtio is more complex and it's standardized than this one is, I think it's simpler.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. You mentioned that most laptops or recent laptops are running Sound Open firmware, but as far as I know, I can't just build one myself and load it. They're signed, so is there any way around that I'm not aware of? Or if I want to experiment with this?
Yeah, of course, you can. There is this getting started guide, and there is a instruction by instruction way of showing you how to compile everything. You first need to get the toolchains for the DSP, compile the firmware, they instruct you where to put it on the file system, they have the configuration options for the Linux that you need to enable. You can definitely do that by yourself. The only thing that I don't know exactly for Intel is how this signing works. If it always needs to be signed or not. But I think if you can post a question on GitHub and the guys from Intel will. The NXP binaries for the firmware are not signed as of now.
Okay, that's all we have time for. So thank you very much for that excellent presentation.